This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa barakatuh. Our topic for today, inshaAllah, is something that we all know about, but we need from time to time to be reminded. And it's an important topic because it deals with our life. It is about the essence of our existence. As I said before, and I always repeat this, Muslims are unlike any other religion because they know where they came from. They know where they're going. They know why they were created. If you ask anyone who's not a Muslim, the majority of them don't have a purpose for living. Muslims have. If you look at other religions, when you have a problem and you are unable to solve it, sometimes a bullet might be the answer, or a drink of poison, or throwing yourself from a high place. Rarely you will find a Muslim doing this. Is it because we love to live? It might be. No one says, no, alhamdulillah, I don't want to live. Anyone who doesn't want to live, give me your wallet. I love to live. But we have a vision and a mission. We know where we came from, and we hope, inshallah, that we know where we are going to. Therefore, our topic is about what life is really about. What is life? Allah Azza wa Jal described life in a very simple ayah, that we Muslims recite this surah before we go to bed. Inshallah, I hope we do that. What is that surah? Suratul Mulk. Allah says in the second ayah, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. It is He who created death and life, so that He would test you which of you is, or which of you is best in deeds. Therefore, this tells me why Allah had created me. Why? To be tested. So what we are at the moment in is a test. Is it multiple answers? Multiple question answers? Is it yes, no answers? Is it essay type answers? It is all type of tests. And everything that you go through is a test from Allah Azza wa Jal. However, when we talk about testing, and these are the lemons that came in the title, I had to Google it and make a research. Lemons happen. And I was, lemons happen. Sometimes you are given titles for a lecture. You don't know if you are a grocery man or a farmer or selling meat. What is this? Lemons happen. So, alhamdulillah. Then I had to come up with a conclusion that they're talking about testing and calamities that we all have to go through. So whenever Muslims talk about testing, what do you think of? Example? Wars? Death? Poverty? Disease? Marriage. See, all what I have been hearing is negative. And this is not the case in Islam. Because by this standard, Allah Azza wa Jal loves the Swedes. Swedish people, mashallah, they have excellent weather, unlike Kuala Lumpur people. Poor things, very hot. They have excellent wealth and welfare and everything. So by your standards, Allah is not testing them. They are having fun. But this is not the case. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, we shall make a trial of you with evil, poverty, disease, wars, famine, and with good. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. And to us you will return, Allah says. So Allah tests you not only with what you dislike, but also with what you like. Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, interprets this ayah. He says, Allah says that we test you with prosperity and hardship, with health and illness, with wealth and poverty, with halal and with haram, with obedience and worship, and with sins, and we test you with guidance and misguidance. So every single person on earth is being tested at the moment. Even the president, even the king, even the richest person on earth, yes, this is a test. Because the end result is, what will you be labeled as? Succeeding or failing? So Allah Azza wa Jal tests us with everything. However, no one on earth says, I'd like Allah to test me with poverty and illness and hardship. I don't want Allah to test me with wealth and with high position and a good job. Nobody says this. Because the end result of tests are two things. And this is what Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on his soul, made Iman. When he wrote a book, very beautiful book, I think it's translated, it's called عِدَّةُ الصَّابِرِينَ وَذَخِيرَةُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. The arsenal, or the supply of those who are patient, and the provision of those who are grateful. Iman is divided into two halves. Half is patience, and the other half is showing your gratitude and thanks to Allah. When do you have patience? When there's a calamity. When do you have gratitude? When you have provision and gifts from Allah Azza wa Jal. So we all like to have the second part. Give us what we want and we will show our gratitude. Better for us than you test us with poverty, illness and hardship and you will find us patient. Inshallah, we will be also patient and showing our gratitude. Now, why is Allah Azza wa Jal testing us? This question is very problematic. The question of why, a lot of the Muslims have it, but some of them may have it to object. And the issue of objecting goes against Islam. What do you mean, Sheikh? Yani we should not ask? No, ask. Asking increases your knowledge, clarifies your misconceptions, gets your iman even higher. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ibrahim said, peace be upon him, show me how you resurrect the dead. Allah says, don't you believe? He said, no, I believe. But so that I would elevate my iman. So if you ask to elevate your iman, no problem. Go ahead, ask. Ask me, ask Sheikh Hussain, ask anyone. Because this is beneficial for both of us. But the problem is that the Muslims nowadays are asking to object, not to submit. And this is why we get people going out of the fold of Islam. Why does Allah do this? Are you asking to know? No, this is not fair. MashaAllah. Give your shahada again. Sheikh Hassani would be, inshallah, here to accept and give you the articles of faith, articles of pillars of Islam, the whole nine yards. He said, yeah, but this is not logical. SubhanAllah, is it logic? Is Islam now logical? How is it logical? Islam is a religion of submission. You have 80% of Islam you're convinced of. No, Sheikh, I have 99% of Islam convinced of. Of the Quran, yes, no problem, hadith. But this 1%, I'm not very happy with. Ya, he put the 1% with the 99%. Because if you believe in 99%, khalas, what is there more for you? But it is not logical. Not everything in Islam is logical. In the sense that my logic can understand. It is logical in the sense that it has a wisdom. It is from the wise, Allah Azza wa Jal. It is from the all-knowledgeable. But you may not find the wisdom behind it. Your son loves you so much that he's willing to follow you blindly, correct? Do this. Okay, daddy, don't do this. I will obey. But when he's in agony because of his appendix, and you take him to the surgeon, and the surgeon decides to do the procedure and operate upon him, he brings his knives and the butcher stuff he has, and the child is looking at him with a yellow grin on his face, because he's putting the mask, of course, but the child can see. And he looks at his father, "Father, what is this?" And the father says, "Trust me." "Trust you what? He's going to cut me open." This is illogical. This is a very small example. Not everything that we see is logical, but we believe. This is our conviction. So when you ask, why is Allah testing me? If this question is to increase your iman, you have no problem. I will answer you, inshallah. But if it is to object, then you have to answer it yourself elsewhere, because your Islam is under questioning. I don't know if you're a real Muslim or not. This is Islam, submission. First of all, this, and there are a number of answers, but throughout, inshallah, the lecture, we will get to know. Ibtila, or testing, is raising your status nearer to Allah, increasing your good deeds, erasing your bad deeds. The Prophet, Allah Azza wa Jalla, says in the Quran, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And whatever of misfortune befalls you, it is because of what your hands have earned, and He pardons much. Subhanallah. Whatever happens to us, I'm going out to the hotel, I'm driving, I get an accident. Why did this accident happen? Because of my sins. But bearing in mind that Allah is pardoning a lot, so this is the tip of an iceberg that Allah is punishing me with. It's a possibility. If I have no sins at all, which is unbelievable, this can only happen to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He's the one who is sinless. Even to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what? To elevate his status more and more, to add to his ajr and reward more and more. And this is why there is no one on earth, no, not even on heavens. There's no one on earth or in the heavens who is more rewarded than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is why so many people say, "Sheikh, on Qurbani, on Udhiyah of Eid, I'd like to slaughter a sheep for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam." They make Umrah or Hajj, say, "I'd like to make Umrah to the Prophet alayhi salam." Are you crazy? He said, "Yes, I love him so much, I want to give him." Akhi, whatever you do, he's credited. So whatever any Muslim, when you pray two rak'ahs now, Allah Azza wa Jal would credit the Prophet alayhi salam for the reward of these two rak'ahs, though you did not intend it. Why? Because he's the one who taught it to you. When you recite the Quran, he's accredited. When you say Subhanallah, Astaghfirullah, Allahu Akbar, so there is no point of producing such an innovation. This is bid'ah. Automatically, everything is credited and transferred to his account, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. The Prophet told us that no misfortune or disease befalls a Muslim, no worry, no grief, no harm, no distress, not even a thorn that pricks him, that is the believer, but Allah will expiate for some of his sins because of that. Subhanallah. This means that we should love to have tests from Allah because it erases our sins. But this is not the case. When a person is tested from Allah, this is a sign that Allah loves him. But does this mean that we should ask Allah for testing? No. It is totally prohibited for you to say, "Oh Allah, test me. Come on, test me." Bang! "Oh Allah, don't test me. Forgive me. Cure me." Don't think that you're man enough. The sister saying, "Alhamdulillah, we're not men enough." No, don't think even that you are woman enough. In the sense that don't think that you can tolerate or challenge Allah by this. Sahnun, one of the worshippers, he was like a monk in Islam. He was once praying. He prays like 6 hours a day, a night. So he's saying, "Oh Allah, test me and you will see the result." So Allah tested him by not being able to urinate. It's an illness where you can not urinate, nothing goes. So he used to feel the pain in his bladder and he's unable to urinate, and he goes in the streets, meets the children playing football. He said, "Pray for your lying uncle. Pray for your lying uncle. I was lying when I said, 'Oh Allah, test me. You will see me patient.' I'm unable to tolerate this." So do not challenge Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatness of the reward comes with the severity of the trial. And when Allah loves people, He tests them. So whatever happens to you as a believer in this life, it is a test. Not only that, it is good for you. How can that be? How can tests be good for you when we can see it harming us, causing us distress, depressing us, causing us a lot of calamity? How can testing be good for you? First of all, who's better? The prophets or us? The prophets. Have they been tested by Allah Azza wa Jal? Now, let's not talk about the prophets. We're not prophets. Let's talk about us. Each one of us here who does not have testing or a calamity or a problem from Allah, raise your hands. Ya Allah, we are living in hardship. Each one has a problem. Either you have debts, or you lost a job, or your child is not as obedient as you wish, or your spouse is not as you hoped he or she would be. Or you have problems with work. Or you have problems with Salatul Fajr, as so many Muslims complain. And this is very funny with the Muslims. True Muslims praise Allah Azza wa Jal. Say what? Alhamdulillah. The word Alhamdulillah, when it comes from the heart, it makes darkness light. It makes you the happiest person on earth. Nowadays, ask any Muslim around you, "How are you, my friend?" He said, This is sufficient. Yet he does not stop there. He says, "The wife is nagging. My son is always fighting and failing school. My daughter ran away with her boyfriend. My neighbors always put trash in my front porch. And my other neighbor parks his car under my tree in my shade. My boss doesn't like me. He never gave me a raise for 5 years, and he gave a raise to a co-worker who doesn't work hard. I'm diabetic. I have high blood pressure, high cholesterol levels, and I am feeling very low because I have so much debts on me. But alhamdulillah. After all of this, you say alhamdulillah. It shows you that there is no content. And this person doesn't know why Allah created him. He's like a camel. Someone pulls him by the rope, takes him left, takes him right. He doesn't know. He just follows wherever people take them. You, my friend, are not alone. All those on earth are suffering in a certain fashion and manner. Even the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let's begin from the first. Adam, whom Allah Azza wa Jal created with his hands. Does Allah have hands? I'm shocked, but this is not the time to express my shock. By those who say, no, Allah doesn't have a hand. Akhi, it's mentioned in the Quran in so many places, in the Sunnah. Said, no, this is not hand, this is ability. This is his power. Sounds logical, but I have a problem. When Allah Azza wa Jal ordered Satan to prostrate and he did not prostrate, Allah told him, why didn't you prostrate to what I created with my two hands? Satan should have answered and said, you created me with your two hands as well. But he didn't. Why? Because Allah did not create Satan with his two hands. Allah created only certain things with his two hands, and the rest were created by kun fayakun, be, and it was. So Allah created Adam with his two hands. Allah created the highest level of Firdaus with his two hands. Allah planted the trees, or certain trees, with his two hands. Allah wrote the tablets of Moses with his hand. And there is an issue of dispute whether Allah created the throne with his hands or by the word kun, be, and so on. So let's not go into this, because then people will sleep. Let us look at Adam. Adam, peace be upon him. Allah created him with his two hands, ordered the angels to prostrate to him, but he sinned. He made a mistake. How did Allah test him? Allah tested him and us by descending him from the heavens to the earth. Is this a calamity? La ilaha illallah. Imagine if we were in heaven now. No salah, no fasting, all night long partying, you know, booze, and everything's fun. Well, inshallah, it will come back. It will come back, inshallah. Look at your children, your spouse. We suffer with our children. I suffer with my children. Severely. And they acknowledge this and they complain, because there is a standard you wish that your children would raise to. I have 11 of my daughters, mashallah, all memorized Quran when they were 15 years of age. A certain school, by 15, they're all memorizing the Quran. But after high school, they're not all the same. I'm suffering. And it depresses me. But not to the extent, alhamdulillah, that they're doing, you know, bad things, but they're not at the level you want them to be. Then I remember the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Nuh. He spent 950 years calling his people to Islam. 950 years. What a da'i. But what was the results on his family? His wife and his son are in hell. They rejected his da'wah. So when I see this, I say, maybe it's not my mistake. Maybe. Because definitely it was not Nuh's mistake. He's a perfect professional da'i, 24/7. 950 years. That if he has a resume, mashallah, tabarakallah. It is one heck of a resume. Now, if I look at my career, I was sacked. My company was downsizing. They do not want me to work anymore. I've lost my job. Is it the end of the world? Who is your provider? It's not your manager. It's not your CEO. It's not the one who signs the check. Because all of them need to take a breath to live. And they cannot provide themselves with that breath. It is Allah. So why are you worrying? Look at Musa. He was on the hit list when he was an infant. And Allah Azza wa Jal defied all norms by making him grow up in the house of the wannabe assassin. So instead of being murdered and killed, he was raised up in the house of Pharaoh and became almost a king. And then he killed a man. And he fled all this palace, all this wealth, all this money. And for over 10 years, worked in a foreign country. So he's not in his own country. He's in a foreign land as a shepherd. And lost everything. A very strong calamity to a person to face. But he passed it and he moved on to be one of the strong-willed prophets of Allah, messengers of Allah. Look at Yusuf. You have calamities? Look at Yusuf's calamity, peace be upon him. A young child, hated by his siblings, all of them. What did I do? Yeah, our father loves you. Is it my mistake? He loves me. Hate him, don't hate me. And his father was a prophet of Allah. And this is why when the prophet said, was asked, who's the most honorable person? He said, Al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim. What a lineage. You know, to have this name in your passport, wow. He was Yusuf, the son of Prophet of Allah, Ya'qub, the son of Prophet of Allah, Ishaq, the son of Prophet of Allah and Messenger of Allah, Ibrahim. Yet his siblings, who share the lineage with him, took him and threw him in the well, lied to their father that the wolf had attacked him and killed him. Then, not only that, to add pain to insult to injury, he was taken by a caravan, sold as a slave, raised up in the house of one of the dignitaries and the ministers of Egypt to be seduced by a beautiful woman, a rich woman, the owner and the mistress of the palace he was in. When I say this story to my students in high school, everyone says, Sheikh, where is this? Where is this? Nobody's coming to us. Wallahi, they are regretting. Yusuf, why didn't you do it? You've lost a chance. Subhanallah. Look what makes the difference between a normal person and a prophet of Allah. It is a trial. If we were tested with it, we don't know what would the response be. Most Muslims said, no, mashallah, I am a strong man. All of a sudden, his knees are shaking. Never ever wish to meet the enemy. Always say, oh Allah, bring me or give me afiyah. I do not test myself because I know I will fail. So keep me as far as possible from fitna. Look at Prophet Ibrahim. The trials we have, wallahi, they're nothing with Ibrahim. Ibrahim reached the age of 80 years without having children. Complaining at all. He's asking, Ya Allah, bring me children. Allah grants him two, not one. Never give up. At this old age, his eldest, Ismail, when he was an infant, Allah tells him, Now you have a child, go to Mecca, in the middle of nowhere, leave your wife and your child and leave. Give me a break. I'm 80 years of age. He did not even blink. Told his wife, Hajar, get ready. Where are we going? Get ready. And they travel all the way from Iraq to Mecca, which was nothing, which was wilderness, nothing. There was nothing, not a tribe, not a plant, not water, nothing. They reached there, he turned his back and went. Ibrahim, what are you doing? Ibrahim, who are you leaving us to? And he does not even respond, does not even look back. What kind of test is this? What kind of iman and faith he has? Then she figures out. She says, is it Allah who ordered you? And he said, yes, that's it. No lecture on how to be patient and how to be tolerant. No, nothing. Alhamdulillah. Just yes. She said, go. Allah Azza wa Jal will take care of us. He will not make us suffer. Then we know what had happened. The boy grew up. Ibrahim came. He saw his son almost 14, 15 years of age. His age now is almost 100. I know how a person suffers when he does not have children. I have to get all the groceries to the third floor myself every time I buy them. There's no one to take them from the car with me. I will never ever ask my daughters to come and pick the groceries. I take the trash out. I do everything physically. If I had a son, go, take your mother. Try not to come back. Go, do this, do that. I would tell him to do things. Now when Ibrahim finds his son growing up, becoming a man, Allah says, Ibrahim, take your son, put him down and slaughter him. No questions asked. Trial after trial after trial. This is why Ibrahim has one of the highest and closest friendship with Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the Khalilullah. So is our Prophet alayhi salam, Khalilullah. So, again, we all have calamities. We all have lemons. Lemons happen. So, deal with it. How to deal? Why is Allah testing me? Again, coming back to the same question. Why? If this, again, is to expand your iman, increase your content of what is happening, you can ask. Among the things that help you tolerate and live with these trials that you're facing is to know that Allah is the owner of everything. Do you have doubt? For example, now if Allah decided that we all in this universe, humans, animals, fish, insects, plants, trees, angels, jinn, devils, all would perish and die. Can anyone say, this is not fair? This is not logical. Can you object? No, because he's the owner. If I take money from my pocket and I start burning it, my money. It's not up to you to decide. It's not of your business. I burn whatever I want. I am the owner. And Allah Azza wa Jal is the owner of everything. So, when Allah wills something, you have no reason, no justification to object. He does what He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, as Muslims, we have the firm and strong conviction that my Lord does not treat anyone unjustly or unfairly. So whatever is happening to me, this is deserved. This is for a wisdom. And Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah would never treat any one of us unfairly. There has to be a justification and a reason. One of the greatest causes for calamity is to erase your sins. Do we have sins? Little or a lot? We have plenty. So Allah tests us. Because so many times we fail to ask Allah for forgiveness. I'm talking about myself and the majority of Muslims. We have sins that because we are committing them on a daily basis, we don't seem to believe that they are sins anymore. So for me to come to Malaysia, and everywhere I go, I hear music. Everywhere I go, I hear music, songs and dancing. And I go to a restaurant, there's music. I go to the toilet, there is music. What is this? So after a couple of days, in the first 2 days, I am hating it. In the third day, I'm memorizing the song and repeating it. Oh yeah, this is a beautiful song. This is a beautiful band. So people make sense and they do not relate to them. Their hearts are dead. Of course, looking at the opposite gender is a sin. Free mixing is a sin. Transactions, halal, haram. The way you treat your parents, the way you treat your spouse, the way we... So many sins. Sometimes, or most of the times, we fail to ask Allah for forgiveness for all of them. So Allah Azza wa Jal, instead of delaying the punishment to the hereafter, Allah gives us tests. And He gives us calamities to erase our sins. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, trials will continue to befall the believing man or woman in himself, in his child, in his wealth, until he meets Allah with no sin on him. So all what you're meeting, Allah would erase your sins. Sheikh, my in-laws are torturing me. This is 80% of the emails I get from the sisters. Wallah. And I get a lot of emails. I get like 150 to 250 a day. I have a team, alhamdulillah, don't worry. They take my old answers and see if it fits. This, don't laugh. This is logical. I spent 2 years answering every single question. But imagine 5 to 7 questions a day. What's the ruling on music? And you write the same answer. And then 5 minutes, the same question. Then I thought, maybe it's best that I have the same answer pasted. So we have a team, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward them. They screen all the questions and they look, if it's music, the answer is the same. They paste it, they send it to me. I make sure that it fits the same question and I okay it and it goes. 80% of the sister's question, Sheikh, my mother-in-law does this and that. My sister-in-law comes into my room and takes my jewelry and takes my clothes and she beats me and asks me to cook for her. Wallah. This is not in your culture, alhamdulillah. In some countries, the joint family is a must. You marry a girl, she has to live with your parents, serve them until they die. This is not Islam. So this is dhulm. But bear witness, my sister. The more you are patient and tolerant, the lesser sins you have. Likewise for the husband, and we can go on forever with this, but this is not the time. And for the husband, maybe this hadith fits. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, on the day of resurrection, people will wish that their skins had been cut with scissors in this world when they see the reward of those who were struck with calamity. On the day of judgment, the day of resurrection, the people, when they see those who were tested by Allah and the reward that they're getting, they regret it and say, oh, I wish Allah in this dunya would cut my skin with scissors so I get more and more reward. A calamity is beneficial for a believer. Khalas? They recited Ayat al-Kursi, alhamdulillah, and the jinn has gone. Allahu Akbar.
Break.
طيب. Now, it's a chance. When Allah tests us with a calamity, it is a chance to reflect. So many times we are heedless. We're living 9-to-5 job. In the morning after Fajr, I'm working out in the gym. Then I go to my job. I read newspapers. I listen to the news. I don't do any job. This is 9-to-5. We have breakfast and then we have lunch. They have brunch. We talk together. Then 5 o'clock, there's khalas. We have to go. We go to the house. We buy groceries. We sit with the boys or with the girls and we mix with our friends and we sleep like a log at the end of the night. So this is our daily routine. It's a vicious cycle. Then comes a calamity. Then comes a test from Allah. It makes this circle stop. And you reflect, huh, wow, I was heedless. I was in ghafla. I was doing so many things wrong. I have to come back to Allah. You raise your hands. You show your humility to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah relieves you from your crisis and from your calamity. You're a strong believer once again. So this is the continuous process until you die. You're heedless, then you come back. You sleep and you wake up. You are far away from Allah, then you come closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. One of the benefits of testing is that your true core, your true identity is revealed. And this is problematic. May Allah Azza wa Jal conceal our shortcomings. Allah says in the Quran, do people think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and will not be tested? And we indeed tested those who were before them, and Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are true, and will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars. This is one of the most scary ayahs in the Quran. Allah tells us that He will not leave any one of us alone. Every one of us says, I'm a Muslim, I'm a believer, I'm a true follower of the Sunnah. Allah Azza wa Jal will test you. And when we are tested, we are exposed. This is why we always say, oh Allah, don't expose our shortcomings. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad says, people, when they are living in peace and prosperity, they all are good practicing Muslims. Aren't we? All of us, look at us, mashallah, we are praying on time, attending lectures, have strong faith and iman. The moment Allah tests us, then our identity is revealed. So many people, they are law-abiding citizens. When they go to a shop to buy something, they stand in line, they're very polite. But when there is a calamity, then your true identity is revealed. You start to jump people. When you're driving, you don't have any problem, you have a lot of time, you will reach your destination on time. But if you're late, what will happen? You put on your racing helmet, your horns come out, and you become the devil driving. You don't care about anyone. Why? Because you are being tested now. Likewise, in transactions, I deal in halal money, I do not deal in haram. If the school raised the fees for your child and you cannot afford it, and someone comes and says, take this as a gift. This is 5,000 ringgits, a gift. Just sign the paper. Gifts, yes. The Prophet said, tahadu tahabu. Give gifts and you will have affection and love among you. So this is sunnah. Okay, make it 10,000. When you're tested, your true identity is exposed. And this is why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when Allah intends goodness to one of His servants, He will make His punishment in this dunya. So I'm driving and bang, someone crashes into my car. It costs 3,000, 4,000 ringgits. And it's taking time. I'm sad. It's my beautiful car for 75 years. And now look what had happened. I'm sad. But this erases like 10% of my sins, then this means that Allah intends good for me. Allah loves me. The Prophet said, and if Allah intended evil for someone, then He will delay him until the Day of Judgment and then punish him for his sin. And the punishment of Allah on the Day of Judgment is nothing compared to what we face here. So, how can we tolerate? How can we try to live through these calamities and tests? We need help. So if I'm tested, what to do? First of all, the best thing whenever you are tested by Allah with a calamity or with a trial is to raise your hands and ask Allah for help. Show and express your humility, your poverty to Allah Azza wa Jal, and that you are in need for Him. This is a true believer. Always bows down to Allah Azza wa Jal. An arrogant person does not do this. Wallahi, I know a person, Saudi. Whenever I tell him, pray to Allah, raise your hands and ask Him to relieve you from your calamity, he says, I do not ask Allah in times of prosperity. Do you want me to ask Him now? Look how shaitan plays with his head. People do not pray. When it's time for examinations and tests and interviews, they start to pray. Others refuse even to pray at that time. Why? So I don't pray with him to him when I'm on a job. Why should I pray to him when I'm out of job? Then this is not fair. Shaitan makes him think that he's treating Allah like we treat our peers. If I don't ask you for something at the time of prosperity, I will not ask you in the time of need. Allah is not like this. Allah has billions and trillions of His creation asking Him and begging Him. We don't have except Allah Azza wa Jal to ask. So don't deal with Allah in such arrogance. One of the means that would help you to go and live through your calamity is that you compare the calamity to Allah's favors and blessings upon you. Which is most? Calamities or favors? People are thinking. Huh? Allah has given us so many favors that are beyond count. Urwa ibn Zubayr, he's the nephew of Mother Aisha. He's not a companion. He's a tabi'i. But he was one of the seven great companions of Medina. The well-known seven. Once he went to the Muslim ruler's palace to visit. He had seven grown-up Qurayshi sons. Very handsome, very strong, and their lineage is one of the greatest, of course. On the same night he went in, someone gave him an evil eye. He said, oh, look at him, he's seven, mashallah, boys. He didn't say mashallah at the time. And look at him, he's healthy, he's a scholar, he's the son of Asma bint Abi Bakr, he's the son of Zubair ibn al-Awwam. Wow, his grandfather is Abu Bakr. And on the same night, they discovered that his leg had an illness that needed to be amputated or he will die. So the doctor said, we have to amputate it. So he said, okay, do what you will. He said, okay, take this intoxicant so that you would not feel the pain. He said, no, I cannot take such things. But wait for me, I will pray to Allah, make dua, make dhikr. And when I'm engaged in it, do what you wish. So they left him, and until he was in a state of dhikr and salah, they came and sawed his foot. No quick electrical saw. Zzz, it's over. No. One, two, one, two. It took like maybe half an hour. And he didn't say anything. Unfortunately, at the same time, one of his sons went into the stables of the Khalifa. And one of the horses ran him down and killed him. So when he woke up from the surgery, they told him about what had happened to his son. He said, Alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, all praise be to you. You've granted me 7 children, sons. You took one and left 6. You granted me 4 limbs. You took one and left me 3. And he moved on, showing and expressing his patience and tolerance to Allah Azza wa Jal for whatever calamity befalls upon him. What will happen to us if we lose our wallet while going out today? We will whine and cry and weep for a whole year. Not losing a foot, not losing a son, for just losing a wallet. But if we miss Fajr prayer for a whole month, Alhamdulillah, nothing happens. Brush it away from your shoulder. Fajr is okay. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim. But to lose your wallet with your credit cards, halal and haram credit cards, this is a big calamity and a problem. Among the things that would help you to tolerate calamities and tests, that you should be grateful it was not bigger. How is that? Whenever a calamity strikes you, it could have been worse. So now I have a sore throat. I wake up, I have a sore throat after last night's lecture. Besides, I'm getting old. But I say, Alhamdulillah, it's a sore throat, not an infection in my lungs. Not something that is broken, not something that is unfixable. So I'm happy. Once I was in the first day of Ramadan, imagine, I had a habit of taking my wife the first day of Ramadan to make Umrah and to spend one night in a hotel next to, we live in Jeddah, so Jeddah and Mecca is nothing. So I did this. First day, we went to Al-Haram to break our fast, Fatur for the first night, very happy, prayed Maghrib, went back to the hotel, I do this, and the wallet is gone. Somebody snatched my wallet in the Haram on the first night of Ramadan. How do you feel? I was so frustrated and angry. But immediately, Alhamdulillah, I thought, okay, let's assess the problem. Did you pay the hotel? I paid the hotel in advance. Alhamdulillah. Imagine if I did not pay the hotel. I don't have money, no credit cards, no ATMs, nothing. Is your car with you? My car is with me. Alhamdulillah. Is your wife missing? No. Astaghfirullah. That was a calamity, but alhamdulillah. I said, may Allah Azza wa Jal make me among the patient and tolerant. So always look at your problem and how it would have been if it were to be worse. Then your problem would become easy. One of the scholars once had a pimple and a sore wound on his finger. So one of his students was looking at it with disgust. So the scholar looked at him and said, imagine if it was at the tip of my tongue. Imagine if it was at my eye. How would it have been? The student says, wallah, when he said this, this looked very beautiful and nice. Because it can be worse. So you always praise Allah Azza wa Jal. Imagine if the calamity you were struck in was in your religion. You're a millionaire. You are a millionaire. What would you choose? To lose your wealth and fortune, or to lose your iman and you do not pray anymore? People say, let me think. Wallahi, people think like this. No, Allah is forgiving. And maybe next year I will go and make Hajj. And the following year I will repent. No, I'd rather have my wealth rather than lose it. Iman comes and goes. This is problem. You have to, now this is a calamity. But now the child is healthy, mashallah. And the father does not have work on a Sunday. So imagine if this happened while he was at work and his wife calls him, come, the child is crying. And there is so many good things of Allah Azza wa Jal upon us, but we fail to see except the bad. And this is also given to the spouses. So many complaints you have against your spouse. This is not the way the Prophet told us to do. The Prophet tells us, alayhi salatu wasalam, if you hate something from her, look at the good and bright side. You'll find so many good things. I do this usually with my wife. I fail to see, but alhamdulillah, seriously, I never complain to my wife about anything. Why? And she talks to me, says, why don't you complain about the food that is uneatable? Wallahi, she comes sometimes, cooks food. She's not going to listen to this, so alhamdulillah. She cooks food so horrible, I can only take 2 or 3 bites. And then say, alhamdulillah, may Allah Azza wa Jal give you health, beautiful food. She says, you're lying. The food is awful, it's uneatable. Why don't you complain? Why don't you talk? I said, listen, I never take you out to restaurants. I always travel the world and never take you in any of my trips. I never bring you jewelry. I never use good words to compliment whatever you're doing. I have my own shortcomings. With what audacity do I come to you and complain about any single thing that you do? Bearing with me, tolerating me, is the biggest blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. So I would never, wallahi, ever complain about the way you look, about the way you cook, about my children, about the cleanliness of my house. Never. Because if I open the door, I will have the flood of Nuh on me. And I cannot defend myself. So I'd rather have it the way it is. Among the ways, and I think the time is approaching an end. Okay. Among the things that would help you a lot is that you look at your problem next to others' problems. Now, we have calamities. But by Allah, is any one of us calamity? Is even 1% of what the Rohingya are facing in Burma? 1% of what our brothers in Syria or in Yemen or in Iraq are facing? 1% of the hunger and famine the brothers in Sudan or in Somalia are facing? What kind of calamities are we talking about, my friend? Yeah, Sheikh, my car is 2014. It's too old. Everybody's driving 2017. Why am I less than my peers and my friends? I need a new car. These are our calamities. What is this? So when you compare Allah's testing to you, say, alhamdulillah. I'm in good hands. I'm better than millions and millions of other Muslims. And no matter what you are facing, you have one of two choices. Either to be patient and accept it, and you will have Jannah, and the calamity will remain as it is. Or you complain and whine about it, and you have hell waiting for you, and the calamity will remain as it is. So in both cases, the calamity will not change. Therefore, when someone asks you, how are you, my brother? Don't give him the 9 o'clock bulletin news. Huh? Say, oh, this and this and this. No, no. Say, alhamdulillah. You don't have to tell everybody that you have problems. Because this will not make the problem go away. The problem is there. But when you praise Allah Azza wa Jal, when you thank Allah Azza wa Jal, you are highly rewarded in the day, on the day of judgment. So at times of crisis, when lemons happen, deal with it. هذا والله أعلم ونسبة العلم إليه أسلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. And may Allah عز وجل reward you all for your patience, and may Allah عز وجل make all our trials to be beneficial and to go away and to make us live in health and prosperity and to safeguard our spouses, our children, our loved ones. والله أعلم ونسبة العلم إليه أسلم.